Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It's a chilly morning. Skies will be clearing today, but we're starting off in the 30s and 40s. A big change from yesterday. I'll show you when we'll have our next round of rain.
It's a calm morning after rain and windy conditions last night led to power outages and some flight delays. Where things stand this morning across the Triangle and at RDU International Airport.
Also this morning in Gaza, more than 30,000 people have been killed in the war there since it began. What we have learned about the latest effort to get aid to people there.
An investigation is underway in Johnson County after a fire burned more than a dozen cars. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was at the scene at a salvage yard while fire crews worked to put out the flames. A lot to tell you about here on this Thursday. It is Leap Day. So happy Leap Day, everybody. We get a bonus day this year. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, day 366. Here we go, you know, for the year. And I stepped outside last night with some of that rain. It was still really warm. Not the same when you step out this morning. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. That cold was on the back end of that.
As advertised, our winds have shifted to northwesterly, and they're not terribly strong. You can see the whirling gigs here in Wilson. They're spinning, but they're not whirling really fast. Our winds right now are out of the northwest at just 3 miles per hour. We're looking at winds at 10, but some gusts to show you. It's 42, and that's going to really be the big thing. It's chilly out there right now. We take a look at our temperature and wind chill together. So it's 36 in Roxborough, but it feels like 32. It feels like 33 in South Hill. It feels like 36 in Rocky Mount and 35 in Southern Pines. And there's not a lot of wind chill, but it does feel like 39 in Fayetteville. And it's certainly not a dangerous wind chill. It's just sort of a, oh, yeah, it's going to feel pretty chilly out there with that breeze. When I walked in, that wind was really nippy. We will see some gusts up to around 20 miles per hour this morning. But this afternoon, our winds taper off nicely. And we'll also start to see some clearing. So we did light the top of the tower in blue for clear skies. We do have some cloud cover now, but we'll see increasing sunshine as we get through the day. So again, temperatures are anywhere from the mid-30s to mid-40s across the area, and it is anywhere from 20 to almost 25 degrees colder than it was this time yesterday. It'll be a cool afternoon, too. We'll see increasing sunshine, but we only make it up to 53. It's about 20 degrees colder than our high temperature for yesterday. The next thing that I'm watching is some rain for Friday night into Saturday. I'll show you how it could affect your weekend plans.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We were also watching for this yesterday, but the power is back on this morning. Now, for thousands who lost it as those strong winds and the rain blew through the area. At one point last night, more than 1,300 homes and businesses in Carrboro were without power. Customers in Knightdale also lost power due to a blown transformer. This morning, the Duke Energy map shows only a handful of outages in the Sandhills. Schedules at RDU are running more smoothly this morning after last night's weather forced dozens of disruptions to flights. Right now, as you look live at RDU International Airport, there are just a few delays and cancellations out there. Yesterday, more than 70 flights were delayed, many of them from destinations along the East Coast as that storm moved through.
Fire officials in Johnson County are working to learn the cause of a fire that burned more than a dozen cars in a salvage yard. Fire broke out at this facility on Sedisco Road near U.S. 70 in Wilson's Mills last night. 16 cars were involved. Crews were able to put the fire out in about 30 to 40 minutes, stopping it from spreading to other cars in the lot.
Also this morning, a live look at the U.S. Capitol building, where last night congressional leaders struck a deal on a bill that will prevent a partial government shutdown. The agreement would extend funding through March 8th. Today, the House plans to vote on that stopgap bill. The measure includes funding several agencies, including agriculture, Veterans Affairs, and housing. If the House passes the bill today, it will then go to the Senate for a vote and then to President Biden's desk.
A North Carolina death row inmate appealing his conviction will be back in court for the fourth day today. 37-year-old Hassan Bacot's defense team is arguing racial bias was a factor in jury selection for his trial in 2009 and ultimately influenced his sentence. Yesterday, a UNC statistics professor testified about his review of data related to the racial makeup of juries compared to sentences. This hearing is expected to last another 2 weeks. The outcome could have implications for more than 100 people on death row in North Carolina. You can watch the hearing live on WRAL.com when court resumes tomorrow morning.
An effort to reduce crime among young people in Durham is working to fund programs that will help with that cause. This morning, the Durham County Juvenile Crime Prevention Council will host an information session for programs looking for funding. The Advisory Council has $71,000 in funding from the State Department of Public Safety to fund proposals, and selected programs will provide treatment, rehabilitation, or academic enhancement to help address juvenile delinquency.
The parents of a newborn who was the subject of a statewide Amber Alert are still not in custody. Justin Brown and Destiny Catherine both have warrants out for their arrest. Their son Jackson was born February 18th. WRL has learned DSS tried to take custody of Jackson on Friday. Chapel Hill police say the couple handed the baby to probation officer on Monday and left.
Many students at St. Augustine's University are considering transferring now after the school lost its accreditation. One student told WRL anyone who isn't currently a senior is seriously looking into transferring. Degrees from an unaccredited university do not hold the same weight as one from an accredited school. Also, students will not be able to get federal financial aid to continue to attend St. Aug. Other colleges often welcome students affected by accreditation loss, and Wake Tech has already seen interest from current St. Aug students.
I don't think transferring is going to be difficult for them. It's just going to be that whole college search process again, and that's stressful.
Students can also choose to stick around in hopes St. Aug will turn things around and regain accreditation before their graduation date. The university plans to file a lawsuit that will allow it to maintain its accreditation while the case plays out in court.
Today, the group that runs PNC Arena will interview design firms about plans to upgrade the arena. The Centennial Authority's Building and Construction Committee meets this morning. They will talk with design teams that they have shortlisted for the upcoming $300 million renovation project. Some of the plans include repurposing the box office concourse and creating new access points for guests and performers. The group hopes to get work started by next summer.
New this morning, the death toll in Gaza since Israel's war with Hamas began in October has surpassed 30,000 people now. That's according to the health ministry there. It comes as the U.S. considers airdropping aid into Gaza, according to two U.S. officials. Now, the United Nations says more than 2 million people in Gaza are at imminent risk of famine. UN aid trucks are no longer crossing into Gaza because it's just too dangerous. Earlier this week, five nations airdropped relief into the Gaza Strip. U.S. officials are calling on Israel to open more passages for aid into Gaza.
Your input is wanted. The Fayetteville Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is looking to improve transportation. There will be a virtual meeting today on Zoom at 4:30 and again at 6:30 p.m. The organization is looking to make investments into existing or new transportation systems in the area. You can find the link to the meeting at projectcomment.com/Sandhills.
A Republican candidate is facing questions about his voting history. Former federal prosecutor Brad Knott is hoping to secure his party's nomination in the 13th congressional district. Election records show Knott bought a home in Raleigh in 2014, but continued voting while registered at his parents' address until last year. It is against the law to knowingly misrepresent your home address at the polls. In an interview with WRL, Knott said he should have updated his voter registration, but it slipped his mind. Elections officials say no one has challenged Knott's ballots.
A wealth of legal knowledge is just a phone call away tomorrow. Five on Your Side's Lawyers on Call connects you with North Carolina licensed attorneys for free. Get your questions answered anonymously and let a professional connect you to additional resources that can help you figure out just about any legal issue. Lawyers on Call is tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m.
You know, if you held on to any Bitcoin, you could be in luck. We'll tell you how much the value spiked within the last day.
And Duke basketball star Kyle Filipowski is back on the court after an injury this week. A look at his first game since hurting his knee when fans rushed the court.
And this is a look down at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Much cooler start than we had yesterday for sure. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will tell us our highs for this afternoon, what we can expect next.
from the WRAL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
It is 4:42. It's still a bit cloudy out there right now, but skies will clear pretty rapidly. The big thing you'll notice as you step out the door is it does feel colder. Our skies are gradually clearing, but our temperatures are in the 30s and 40s, and we'll only climb into the 50s for this afternoon versus 70s that we saw yesterday. It's 39 in Southern Pines, 41 in Tarboro, 40 in Irwin, 42 in Rocky Mount, 45 in Goldsboro. But so we're running, you know, anywhere from the upper 30s to mid 40s as you're stepping out the door. It is still a little bit breezy, and that wind is chilly. So the kids will be, you know, in the, you know, coats this morning. Temperatures are be in the upper 30s in a lot of places. And then it's still chilly as folks come off the bus. So, you know, it might have been shorts and t-shirts weather for some yesterday, but much cooler in the low 50s for highs this afternoon.
Elizabeth, thanks. In Idaho, the execution of one of the nation's longest-serving death row inmates was delayed after 8 attempts at lethally injecting him failed. Serial killer Thomas Eugene Creech was set to be executed last night at a prison near Boise. Prison officials say the medical team tried to find a vein to put the IV line in before deciding to pause the execution. This comes just weeks after Alabama executed a man using nitrogen gas for the first time after an attempt using an IV did not work. Creech is convicted of 5 murders. On the same day as Creech's failed execution, another convicted murderer was executed in Texas. Ivan Cantu was put to death by lethal injection just after 6:30 last night. He was convicted and sentenced to death for the 2000 murders of his cousin and his cousin's fiance. Cantu used his last words to maintain his innocence like he had during his entire prison sentence.
A student at McDougal Middle School in Chapel Hill faces serious consequences for a verbal threat made earlier this week. Carrboro police have now filed a juvenile petition for a threat of mass violence on a school campus. In a letter to parents, Principal Chris Horn said there were no weapons involved in the threat.
Good news if you've been hanging on to Bitcoin waiting for a price spike. The value of the most well-known cryptocurrency surpassed $60,000 yesterday for the first time since November 2021. Bitcoin has been going up since the Securities and Exchange Commission approved the listing and trading of Bitcoin product shares last month. Like other cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin's value is extremely volatile and influenced by many factors.
10 more people have died from the flu in North Carolina, including 2 children. That brings the death toll in this state to 266 so far this season. Overall, respiratory viruses have dropped for the 5th straight week. COVID, flu, and RSV combined make up 10% of all emergency room visits. COVID patients account for the most hospitalizations, with 732 patients statewide. Flu is down 85% compared to its peak in December, with 161 people currently in the hospital.
Today, law enforcement leaders in Cumberland County will talk about their efforts to recruit and retain officers and deputies. Sheriff Ennis Wright and Fayetteville Police Chief Kim Braden will be joined by Attorney General Josh Stein for a news conference this afternoon. Wright has made a recruitment video in hopes of adding more people to his team. Right now, he is short nearly 200 employees and is also looking for more detention officers. He's authorized 178 of them, but currently has 98 working in the jail. Sheriff Wright also has his own law enforcement academy to help fill positions.
Fans of beer made by Anheuser-Busch have something to cheers about. The brewer and the Teamsters have reached a tentative deal. About 5,000 union members were ready to strike at midnight, but both sides reached an agreement. Drivers got an immediate $4 an hour raise and an $8 increase over the life of the contract. Workers also got $2,500 signing bonuses, increased vacation time, and restoration of retirement benefits. Meanwhile, 400 union members at a Molson Coors brewery in Texas have been on strike for nearly 2 weeks.
A bit of a reprieve for renters in Raleigh. New numbers showed the rental price is finally headed down after skyrocketing since the pandemic. A large number of new apartments has made finding one easier and cooling rent a bit. With that being said, the average rent for a one-bedroom place is still between $1,300 and $1,500 a month.
Duke basketball star Kyle Filipowski returned to the court for last night's game against Louisville just days after a collision with fans storming the court after Wake Forest upset the Blue Devils. There was some confusion on how severe Kyle Filipowski's injury was. Coach John Shire admitted he misspoke and called it an ankle injury. Filipowski said he hurt his knee. He also said the imaging wasn't done, which was a good sign. Filipowski was in Duke's starting lineup last night and ended up finishing the game without limitation versus Louisville. 9 points, 10 rebounds, and Duke won the game 84-59.
A father and son duo who served as long custodians at Duke are being honored by the university. The school is renaming the East Campus Union Building after them. This is where the Dining Commons and Trinity Cafe is, and it will be named George and George Frank Wall Center for Student Life. George Wall was a janitor at the school when it was Trinity College, and then his son followed in his footsteps and worked there for more than 50 years until he died in 1953. A dedication ceremony will happen in September during Founders Weekend.
Leaders in Orange County are looking for more foster families. An informational meeting will be held next Tuesday for anyone interested in opening their home to a child. It'll be held from 6 to 7 p.m. at the county's Department of Social Services. You can learn more about it on the county's website.
It is 4:48 and right on cue, that cold front moving through. And Elizabeth, we definitely feel the difference when we step outside this morning.
Ooh, you really can. And it's breezy, so that wind will, you know, kind of make it feel nippy, too, as you're heading out. We take a look at the whirligigs here. They're just spinning gently. They're not whirling around. We're seeing winds right now, you know, up to, say, 5, 10 miles per hour. It's not much. Not terribly gusty at this point. 42 is the temperature in the triangle. As skies clear, we may see that temperature drop a little bit more, so we could easily see widespread upper 30s. As we get to, say, between 6 and 8 a.m., and then after that, temperatures are just going to creep up. And even though we'll see sunshine, our wind will be out of the north, so it's going to be feeling much cooler. Our dew points drop down to 16. That just means we have a very dry air mass in place. That is not going to last long, and I'll show you why coming up. Our temperature is on the left, and the wind chill is on the right. There's not much wind chill out there, but it does feel a little colder than it actually is. And honestly, it's just the feel of the wind. You step outside, and yeah, it feels like 35 in Southern Pines and 39 in Fayetteville. It feels like 40 in Goldsboro, Durham, and Raleigh. It feels like 36 in Rocky Mount, 34 in South Hill, and 33 in Roxborough. So it's a cold one out there where temperatures are mostly in the 40s. We'll see a few gusts this morning, up to 20 miles per hour, but the wind will be tapering off nicely once we get past lunchtime, and our temperatures will warm on up to only 53. So yesterday's high was 72, our high today 53. That is spring in North Carolina. I know technically it is still winter, but tomorrow is actually the first day of meteorological spring, and that is because we, especially around here, tend to see so much change this time of year. Yesterday, again, 72, and then today, 53. 52 in Durham and 55 in Fayetteville for this afternoon. So we have cooler air that is pushing into our region right now. It'll stay with us through Friday, and then after that, we have some warmer temperatures that will arrive for the weekend. You can see some of this warmth back to the west, and that will come pouring in starting Saturday and Sunday. And stick around for a good chunk of next week and see those pink colors. That's where temperatures are way above normal, and that comes swinging our way. Our normal high this time of year is 59, so we're about to bump it on up to 60 in a few days. 53 for today, 54 Friday. Then we're in the 60s over the weekend, and right now we're forecasting 70 on Monday. But we do have another round of rain that's in our forecast. We will see increasing chances for rain as we head through the afternoon and overnight on Friday night. And it is likely to linger into Saturday morning, but Saturday doesn't look like a washout. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'll walk you through Saturday so you can plan around that rain.
Iowa Hawkeyes basketball star Caitlin Clark continues her record-breaking streak, her latest accomplishment during last night's game against the Kansas Jayhawks.
And after 4 years, Leap Day is here. We'll tell you which businesses are cashing in on this special day and where you can get discounts. College basketball star Caitlin Clark has two new entries in the record books this morning. Clark scored 33 points in Iowa's win over Minnesota last night. That eliminates the asterisk in her status as women's college basketball all-time leading scorer. She's now ahead of Lynette Woodard of Kansas, who set the record before the NCAA officially sanctioned women's basketball. She's now only 18 points away from setting the all-time record for scoring among men and women. Clark also hit her 155th career three-pointer this season, setting a new single season record.
And I'm sure we'll see more of those as they wrap up the season. They'll be playing Ohio State, the Hawkeyes, and then the Big Ten tournament, and then the NCAA tournament. So we could see 10 more games of her playing and draining those threes.
Plenty more to go. And credit Lynette Woodard. She said, boy, we hope to see her just continue to smash all of these records and everything else. And Woodard herself, back in the day, I mean, she first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. Okay, and also all the records that she set in her time in the NCAA went on to the WNBA as well. So she should have been recognized a long time ago, right?
Yes, and fans are packing it in to see her play. Remote workers in the Raleigh-Cary area have it second best. According to a report, looking at the best places to work from home, Boulder, Colorado is number one, and then Raleigh comes in second. Durham-Chapel Hill ranked ninth. The study looked at housing costs, percentage of remote workers, internet access, and commute times. It found just over 16% of people in the Raleigh-Cary area work remote, well above the national average. Where the area lost points was its higher housing costs.
It's a leap day, and that means we get an extra day on the calendar in February, and some businesses are dishing out extra special deals as well. Starting off your leap day with some free breakfast from Wendy's. A fast food restaurant is giving away Cinnabon pull-aparts, no purchase needed. Krispy Kreme is giving a dozen glazed donuts to anyone born on leap day, and a discounted dozen for anyone who purchases one at a regular price. Chipotle is giving away free guacamole for customers who use the code EXTRA24 in the app.
And happy birthday to those born on leap day. You get to actually celebrate on February 29th. Yeah. Carowinds is renaming one of its most famous roller coasters. The amusement park is renaming its iconic Intimidator roller coaster. For more than a decade, it's carried the nickname of NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt. Well, the coaster will now be known as Thunder Striker. A Carowinds spokesperson said the name change was necessary because a contract granting the park naming rights for the coaster expired at the end of December. Both still sound very intimidating, and I won't go on it.
The Intimidator. Coming up, the amount of young people committing crimes in Durham is increasing. How leaders are working to reduce juvenile crime in the county.
Plus, access to IVF treatments is in jeopardy after Senate Republicans blocked a bill that would protect access to the treatments. One lawmaker shares her personal experience with the procedure.
And wildfires in the Texas Panhandle continue to grow, and we now know one person has died. We have new video as those fires turn homes to ashes and people have been forced to evacuate.